Hallelujah.
Thank the Lord. Anybody need salt? Hallelujah. I just feel like a mellow spirit of the Holy Ghost. I've seen some people in my life. I've lived long enough to see people that were, boy, they were rough and they were tough when they were young. And you see them later in life and they're like, okay, whatever. It don't matter, bother me anymore. They mellowed out. And that's not a bad thing. They quit getting disturbed about things you're going to pass through anyway. They quit getting upset about things that don't matter anyway. And they just mellowed out. And I've seen people come to the church, they're going to save the world. You're going to hell if you don't do it my way. I mean, they were rambunctious and they could jump the pew and they've just kind of mellowed out and realized that the race is not to the swift or the one that jumps the highest. It's not to the quickest, but it's the one that endures to the end. The same shall be saved. Hallelujah. I love the mellow spirit of the Holy Ghost. That just, the one that changes you. Changes you. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. I just feel like singing an old song. That's all right. There's one comes to my mind. It's in this book here called Water Friend. I got in Jesus. I consider y'all my friends, I suppose, I hope, that you consider me likewise. But it's been said many times, you can count your friends on one hand, you're doing good. But Jesus called Judas friend, betrayed him with a kiss. His definition of friend and mine must be different. I find friends because they do stuff for me and I do stuff for them. But that's not what Jesus called friends. So listen, I don't know what page this is on. 45. Let's sing it. Well, it's what a friend we have in Jesus. And all our sins and griefs to bear. And what a privilege to carry everything, everything to God in prayer. What peace we often forfeit, and oh, what needless pain we bear, and it's all because we do not care. Everything to God in prayer. Have we trials? Have we trials and temptation? Is there trouble anywhere tonight? Is there trouble anywhere? Don't be discouraged. We should never be discouraged. Ooh, take it. Take it. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Ooh, hallelujah.
Who will
have sorrow share. Jesus knows. Jesus knows our every weakness. Just take it to the Lord in prayer. One more verse. Are we weak and heavy laden? Cumbered with a load of care. Precious Savior, still my refuge. Just take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee. Friendship you have in him tonight. Hallelujah. Nobody but Jesus. Hallelujah. Nobody but the Lord. Hallelujah. Can have compassion and love like he has. Ooh, glory to God. He's still my refuge in my time of trouble. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Mark chapter 8, verse 20. Glory to God. I didn't get finished Sunday morning. I don't know if I have time for it tonight. I want to talk about this. I had a shotgun sermon to bring you. It had so many BBs in it, I'm going to hit you with something. But it wasn't a complete thought, just a lot of little thoughts. But just about an hour before and praying, God help me, he gave me this. And I want to bring it to you tonight. Pray for me if I stumble through it. And he said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? He's asked them a question. I don't understand why you don't understand. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, this is not the mud pie, he spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught or anything. He looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. And Jesus went from Bethsaida. He's headed to Caesarea Philippi. And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, what do you see? What do you see? He asked his disciples, saying to them, whom do men say that I am? What do they see, and what do you see? I want to talk for a little while about the double cure. The double cure. Lord, I'm thankful tonight. You are the restorer to completion. Hallelujah. You never did anything halfway, half-heartedly. You did it to completion. If you asked, wilt thou be made whole? And they said, yes, then you did it all the way. And God, there's people here that's partly cured. They're not all the way cured. But Lord, the question still rings out. Do you want to be made whole? And Lord, there is a double cure. Glory to God. Bless us tonight in Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. A cure. There's a cure. We never lived in such a society as there was a cure for this. There's a cure for that. And sometimes you, if you read the label of what it cures, find out what it brings on. Lord, by the time you read what it brings on, you say, I think I'll stick with what I got. It ain't so bad after all. And so but there's a cure and a treatment and things that lead to restoration. And I like treatments that lead to a cure. If this ain't going to cure me, I'm not sure I'm interested. But I like things that lead to restoration. And a cure is something that leads to fulfillment and restoration. It also is a preservation. It cures you from getting something. If you cure a hide, you trappers, you cure a hide, it keeps it from rotting and decaying and going bad. If you got a cow hide on your chair, it was cured. So it doesn't decay. So a cure kind of not only brings you back to restoration, it keeps you whole. Hallelujah. And so when Jesus asked this question to many people, wilt thou be made whole? He was really asking, do you want to be cured? Do you want me to bring you to wholeness, wellness, and soundness of both mind and body and strength? I can do all of these things at one time, or I can do them one at a time. But I'm capable of doing all of these things. And it's a bad, sad day when the doctor, you get an ailment, you go to the doctor and he says, there is no, and knows where there is no cure, the tears quickly flow because you're in hopes that there is a cure for what you have. Your hopes that if there's something there, that there's also something made to cure you. And I'm here to tell you, there's not but one cure for sin. There's not but one cure. Hallelujah. Jesus had 12 apostles, and he gave them his power, and he sent them out as a group of 12, and he said, I send you out, and you shall have power over all devils and cure all diseases. I like that. I see my physician can cure everything. I like to know that my doctor can cure everything. Right now, we live in a day of specialties, right? But the old-time doctors went that way. They come to your house, and they had a little bag, and the penicillin didn't work. Well, there's no cure, you know. But now you go to a heart doctor, you go to endocrinology, you go to, a skin doctor, you go to all kinds of doctors now. There's not the old general practitioner's kind of fading away. All he does now is kind of refer. But I'm telling you, I got a general doctor that he can do everything. Hallelujah. He don't need to send me to somebody else. He can cure my sins. Hallelujah. And I don't even have to know everything in this book to be cured. I've just got to know him. And you know, a lot of times we get stuck on how much faith you got. There was many he cured that had no faith. I believe, help my unbelief. Boy, get up from there. He didn't even think it was going to happen. So it's not totally based on faith. It's based on my faith that he's able to do it and that I believe that he will do it. Now, he said, I don't help my unbelief. But many times he healed people in spite of their unbelief. And I'm glad to know that Jesus has the power over sin and over death. He came out with the keys to hell and death and the grave. He said, though your sins be as scarlet, I can cure you so well it looks like snow. That's how, I'm not going to leave even a red tint there. I can cure you so well, it looks as white as snow. Wow. So in Jeremiah 33:6, he said, behold, I will bring it to health and cure. I will bring it to health and cure. Woo. I will cure them. And then when I cure them, I will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. That sounds like a New Testament scripture to me. He brings health and cure to your soul. Then once he cures your soul of sin, he brings in an abundance of peace and truth and health and grace and love, and all the fruit of the Spirit goes along with this healing process. And if you don't have those attributes, you're not well yet. You're not well yet. Amen. And he challenged him in one place. He said, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? He asked questions. And he asked a third question. Why then the hurt of my people? Because the answer was yes and yes. We have a doctor. We have a king. We have a restorer of sicknesses and diseases of our souls and even our bodies. So the question is, why are you hurting? Why are we hurting? If we have the physician and he has the cure, why do we keep hurting? I preached a sermon, it's called one time many years ago here at this church, Why Am I Still Hurting? And the answer to that was because you keep picking at it. He said, it was in Jeremiah, he said, why is my wound perpetual? You can take a little scab and you keep picking at it, it's going to stay a scab, it's going to stay a sore forever and ever and ever if you keep picking at it. But let it heal and it will fall off on its own. There's no need for God to reveal peace and love and all of this stuff to you if you're struggling to be cured. I'm telling you, I preached here several times, as your health goes, so goes everything else. You let your health go down, I'm telling you, you won't be the worship leader you used to be. You won't be the piano player you used to be. You won't be the preacher you used to be. Everything goes down when your health goes down. And so he said, I'm going to bring you health and I am going to bring you a cure so that you can enjoy the peace and the truth that I have available for you. And most of these curing miracles that Jesus did in the New Testament, you would see that he cured them. The Bible says that self same hour, right? He healed her that self same hour. The same hour, I mean, before the centurion gets home, his servant was well. Damsel arise. It was always immediate. It was the Sabbath day. It didn't take two or three days or two or three prayers. But we have this one miracle here. This one miracle here where he prays twice. Wasn't from a weakness on his part. I would not hope not. So there must be a lesson here that we need to learn that I've not really heard preached. And I want to show you what the Lord gave me, because all these other miracles seem to require one prayer and an immediate cure. But we have a